Cleaning and disinfection procedures are a crucial part of any animal health emergency response. Responders working at sites of animal health emergencies will be exposed to disease-causing organisms. Measures must be taken to decontaminate individuals and to disinfect all personal protective equipment prior to leaving the response area to prevent the spread of pathogens to additional animals, locations, or response personnel. This just-in-time training presentation will overview measures for personal decontamination and personal protective equipment disinfection. Personnel disinfection stations should be set up adjacent to or at the entrance-exit points to the infected premises. The location should be on flat terrain with an impermeable surface, such as plastic sheeting, to prevent fluid infiltration into the soil, while allowing containment of fluids and easier cleanup of the area following procedures. The area should be large enough to house the necessary C&D components, including the disinfection station, water supply, and wastewater containment. The station should contain equipment, such as tubs, scrub brushes, and sprayers, to aid in the removal of gross debris and application of disinfection products. If possible, a building or shelter with a water supply and drainage should be included. Runoff water should be contained and not allowed to drain into clean, uncontaminated areas. To prepare for personnel and PPE C&D procedures, prepare 4 2-gallon buckets of fresh warm water. Water temperatures for all buckets should not exceed a temperature greater than 110 degrees Fahrenheit. When possible, the use of running water is preferred. Add an appropriate mild detergent or cleaner to one of the buckets, an EPA-registered disinfectant to another. The remaining 2 buckets will be used for rinsing, or running water can be used for rinsing also. The preparation and application of disinfectant solutions must be in accordance with product label directions. Only EPA-registered or approved products should be used. Fresh solutions should be prepared prior to use, since some disinfectant solutions may only be active for short durations. Failure to make fresh solutions may result in use of a product that has reduced efficacy. The use of test kits can help to determine whether any chemical degradation of the disinfectant's active ingredients has occurred, and to check that diluted solutions contain the necessary amount of active ingredient. During C&D procedures, biosecurity work zones must be maintained to prevent the spread of microorganisms. As a review, the 3 work zones of a response are the hot zone or exclusion zone, the warm zone or the contamination reduction zone, and the cold zone, the support zone. The hot zone or exclusion zone is a high-risk area where infected animals were housed and is potentially contaminated and considered unsafe. PPE must be worn. Initial decontamination and disinfection of personnel begins here prior to exiting. The warm zone, or contamination reduction zone, is also a high-risk area due to the potential of exposure to pathogens and chemical disinfectants. All personnel are required to wear full PPE. Final decontamination and disinfection, as well as final doffing of PPE, occurs in the decontamination corridor of the warm zone. The cold zone or support zone is the cleanest work zone with the lowest relative risk of exposure to pathogens and other hazards such as decontamination chemicals. Contaminated articles and equipment are prohibited in this area. Decontamination activities are also prohibited. A decontamination corridor runs between the hot zone and the warm zone. Decontamination of personnel occurs along this corridor with the goal of decreasing the level of contamination as personnel move toward the cold zone. The cleaning and disinfection of personal protective equipment and personnel should be carried out in a systematic manner to ensure proper disinfection and decontamination. Following a basic C&D protocol will ensure efforts are effective. The best C&D protocol, regardless of item, involves a cleaning step, which includes dry cleaning and a thorough wash and rinse, followed by the disinfection step, which includes disinfectant application, appropriate contact time, followed by rinsing and drying. Begin the C&D PPE doffing procedure in the hot zone by dry brushing the exterior of PPE to remove any gross contamination. Be sure to scrub organic debris off the bottom of boots. Spray the exterior of PPE items with an appropriate disinfectant solution and enter the decontamination corridor. Upon entering the decontamination corridor, a detergent solution should be applied from head to toe to any reusable clothing items, such as waterproof or nylon coveralls, using a scrub brush or a low-pressure spray to remove gross contamination. Pay particular attention to creases, zippers, and collars. Reusable footwear, such as rubber boots, should also be washed, ensuring the soles are cleaned well. Rinse the detergent from all items using clean, warm water. Next, apply an EPA-registered disinfectant solution to the clothing and footwear items with a low-pressure sprayer. Again, pay close attention to creases, zippers, and collars, as well as the soles of boots. Allow the disinfectant solution to remain on the items for an appropriate contact time. Items must remain wet with the solution throughout the necessary contact period. Reapplication may be necessary to achieve this. Then continue the PPE doffing procedure as described in the PPE just-in-time training presentation. If disposable PPE items such as disposable booties, Tyvek coveralls, or latex gloves have been used, these items should be sprayed thoroughly with an appropriate EPA-registered disinfectant solution and allowed the necessary contact time. Items can then be removed in a biosecure manner according to PPE doffing procedures and placed in plastic garbage bags. Once all disposable items are gathered into the bag, close and tie the bag. Spray the outer surface of the bag with disinfectant solution and place it at the outer edge of the premises for disposal according to the disposal plan. Alternatively, after cleaning, items may be removed and soaked in a container of disinfectant solution, ensuring complete contact of the solution with all surfaces and allowing for the adequate contact time prior to disposal. While disinfectant foot baths may be used upon exiting the premises, these stations may give a false sense of security to responders and should not be used as a sole process of disinfection. However, the process will serve to raise awareness about the need for biosecurity and disinfection for the disease situation present. A freshly prepared, appropriate disinfectant solution should always be used and adequate contact time allowed for optimum efficacy. Some respirators, if properly cleaned and disinfected, may be used again. Suggested respirator cleaning and sanitation procedures are available from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA. Recommendations are highlighted here. To avoid damage to the respirator, use a disinfectant sanitizer recommended by the manufacturer that is efficacious for the targeted pathogen. Ensure that the respirator is properly cleaned and disinfected in a manner that prevents damage to the respirator components and does not harm the user on subsequent use. Specialized respirators such as PAPRs may require specialized C&D procedures to avoid damaging sensitive parts and components. Begin by removing any filters, cartridges, or canisters. Disassemble components, including the facepiece and hoses, as recommended by the manufacturer. Wash components in warm water with a mild detergent or cleaner recommended by the manufacturer. Use a soft cloth or sponge to wipe all surfaces. Rinse components thoroughly in clean, warm water. Next, wipe the components with an EPA-registered disinfectant recommended by the respirator manufacturer for the necessary contact time. This may vary with the disinfectant product used. Some components may be immersible in disinfection solution. Rinse components thoroughly in clean, warm water. Allow components to air dry or hand dry them with a clean, lint-free cloth. Respirator components should not be dried with heaters or in the sunlight. Ideally, cleaning one respirator at a time is recommended. However, batches may be done in some cases. If doing this, it is best to group respirators together by manufacturer to avoid getting parts confused. Disinfection solutions should be changed after a maximum of 20 respirators are cleaned. Thorough rinsing of respirator components is very important, as detergents or disinfectants that dry on face pieces may result in dermatitis on subsequent uses. Additionally, some disinfectants may cause deterioration of rubber or corrosion of metal parts if not completely rinsed away. After doffing all PPE items, clean clothing and shoes should be obtained in the cold zone. Privacy, such as a tent, metal shed, or trailer with a shower for changing needs, should also be provided when possible. Warm water with antimicrobial soaps, scrubs, or hand cleaners should be available for personnel decontamination. Individuals must thoroughly wash their hands with antibacterial soap before leaving the premises. Once home, or when possible on site, a complete shower should be taken. Safety concerns during C&D of personnel and PPE include exposure to chemical disinfectant products, which can cause irritation to the skin, eyes, or respiratory tract. Responders assigned to C&D areas should wear appropriate PPE, such as gloves and goggles. Physical hazards, such as slips, trips, or falls from slippery surfaces, can also occur, as can injury from high-pressure sprayers. Providing stabilizing items such as stools or other support can help responders as they proceed through the decontamination corridor. The decontamination of personnel and disinfection of PPE will be essential during animal disease emergency situations. Attention to proper C&D procedures will help to minimize the further spread of pathogens and protect personnel from exposure. Information in this presentation was taken from the listed USDA APHIS Foreign Animal Disease Preparedness and Response Plan documents. The full version of these documents can be obtained at the FedPrep website. Information provided in this presentation was developed by the Center for Food Security and Public Health at Iowa State University's College of Veterinary Medicine through funding from the Multi-State Partnership for Security in Agriculture.